of the week for about a thought that was made known to me, and here's something that I had sincerely believed. Nothing happens in a child of God's life by mere coincidence. I sincerely believe that. I believe that. And we have to know that our steps are ordered by God. God knows the end from the beginning, and we have to take solace and confidence in when the Lord brings things to our attention, there's a reason, and we must look to God. If we don't at first understand the reason that why this came to me, or why did this come into my awareness, then we have to look to God. And if we look to God and sincerely seek him and diligently seek him, he'll let us know. He's that type of a God. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. Not saying that you're intellectually ignorant, but he doesn't want us not to be aware of what he has for us to do and how he wants us to live. So, as most of you may know, if you are connected with us by social media, today we're going to be praying for those that are between the ages of 18 and 50. And we're going to be praying for those individuals that feel a desire and have a desire that if the Lord should tarry, and they're the next generation that comes on the scene, we want them to be committed to the furtherance and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that thought has been on my mind. And, you know, oftentimes you don't know in our life why we are involved in certain things. And years ago, I'm not the best math person, but 23, subtract 9 from 23, somebody, quickly. Okay, thank you. That's a teacher, isn't it? Okay. So about 14 years ago, I had the opportunity to attend something at USC, University of Southern California, and it was called Passing the Mantle. And it was designed for the clergy that was following the generation that was, I guess, the older generation at that particular time, to be involved in civic engagement. And a classmate of mine from West LA was one of the key presenters, and so he invited me to go through the program, and they gave me a scholarship to go to the program, and I went to the program and learned a couple of things. And so when the thought was presented to me last week about the generation in the church, in the body, that if the Lord again tarries, we have to pass the mantle to, that thought came in my mind. Now, I don't know. Don't panic. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I understand, I'm in reasonable health. So I don't want nobody to, you know, what's going on? No, this is just something I think is important for us to do. God knows the end from the beginning. I haven't had any adverse medical reports, you know, so I just want to say that. But we are getting older. And we have to pour into the lives of individuals, again, if the Lord should tarry, that will follow us. So that's where my mindset is this morning, all right? So I want to talk from a thought, keepers of the faith. Keepers of the faith. I'd like to walk to Galatians. You all walk with me. You can stay seated, but take a walk with me to Galatians, the first chapter. And we know and understand that this is an epistle, a letter that was written to the saints at Galatia. And one of the things that we've learned and understand that although letters, epistles that Paul wrote were sent to certain churches, they were to be circulated to other churches as well. You will find a common thread in a lot of the letters that Paul penned under the direction of the Holy Ghost. And in Galatia, there was a situation that had arisen, if you will, and Paul is addressing the situation. So I'd like to go to chapter number 1, and I'll begin at verse number 6. I am endeavoring to teach today, so I'm praying that the Lord will allow me to do that, if that's all right. I think he will. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Of course, I have the Amplified Classic Version. Here's what Paul is saying. I am surprised and astonished that you are so quickly turning renegade and deserting him who invited and called you by the grace, the unmerited favor of Christ the Messiah, and that you are transferring your allegiance to a different, Amplified unpacks it, even an opposition gospel. Wow. That's something. That was something that was going on there in Galatia. And I believe that's going on even in today. It's going on. People are changing their allegiance to a different gospel. They're changing their allegiance from what God has taught, what God has commanded us to follow, and they are in opposition to the genuine gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not maintaining the standard. And Paul said, I'm surprised. And not only am I surprised, I'm astonished that you, he called them renegade, deserting, deserters. Wow. Verse number 7 says, not that there is or could be any other genuine gospel. So the gospel that Paul preached, the gospel that the apostles preached, that's the message that Jesus wrote down, that gospel message, the message that he put on display and lived, I'm talking about Jesus, that's the genuine gospel. But he said, but there are obviously some who are troubling and disturbing and bewildering you with a different kind of teaching which they offer as a gospel. They offer it. But where did they get it from? They're telling you things that doesn't make good spiritual sense. They're telling people things that doesn't line up with the rightly divided word of God. They're telling you things in order to appease your flesh. They're telling you things so that you'll keep coming. They're telling you things so you can be filled with hype and not genuine hope. And they're offering it to you. Lord, help me here. They are offering it to you well put together. They got smoke and mirrors. Oh, Lord. I'm gonna park my bike here for a minute and put the kickstand down. Excuse me. Yes, put that kickstand down. They are offering an alternative gospel. They are offering an opposition gospel. Lord, help here. They changed the sanctuary into a club environment. Lord, help me here this morning. Turn some lights on. Oh, Lord, help me here this morning. Turn the lights on. What's the need? Listen, the only smoke, God is helping me, the only smoke that should be in the sanctuary is the Shekinah glory. Unplug all that foolishness. Lord, help me here. I started to get my chair so I can just sit down and teach because I didn't want to get too excited. But yes, thank you. I'm going to do that anyway. But it's smoke and mirrors. Sleight of hand, if you will. Catchy phrases and sayings that appeal only to the flesh. And the spiritual man is being starved and deprived because we had a good time. Yeah, you know, it was jumping. Yeah, it was jumping all right. Lord, have mercy. Demons jumped on some swine. Y'all remember that? Okay. okay, jumping. Lord, help me here. All right. But Paul, I'm still in verse 7. Not that there is or could be any other genuine gospel. But there are obviously some who are troubling and disturbing and bewildering you with a different kind of teaching, which they offer as a gospel. It's not the gospel, but they offer it as a gospel. They got the words in the right order, and they know certain things that will appeal to our human thinking, and they know how to get people excited. And I'm continuing verse number 7, and want to pervert and distort the gospel of Christ, the Messiah, into something which it absolutely is not. And the crowds are flocking. Why? Because it appeals to the flesh. Here's what Paul said in verse number 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to and different from that which we preach to you, let him be accursed, anathema, devoted to destruction, doomed to eternal punishment. Paul is saying something serious here. Verse number 9, as we said before, so I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel different from or contrary to that which you receive from us, let him, Lord have mercy, be accursed, anathema, devoted to destruction, doomed to eternal punishment. Basically, what Paul is saying, if something happens to me and I come to you, me, the one who has brought you the gospel message, if something happens to me and I lose my mind, and I preach to you some other gospel, don't listen to me. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But there are people who want to disturb. They want to slip in a counterfeit message. They want to tell you, do the best you can. They want to, if you allow me to use this expression, diminish the genuine power of God in our lives and let you think, oh, it's all right. God knows. God sees. God understands. You know, you got to have an outlet. Okay. You just keep coming. You know, you just keep giving your finances and we're not going to expose your sin. Yeah. Lord, help me here. How did I get out here by myself? We're not going to expose your sin. In fact, truth be told, you know, I kind of struggle with that myself. So you keep yours quiet, and I'll keep yours quiet. Yeah, you know, and oh, Lord, help me here. And we screen who we invite in our circles. Oh, Lord. We screen who we allow to see the real us. I don't have any here, but we screen the people who we feel that we can let our hair down and be ourselves. We have the audacity, oh Lord, help me. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going with God. We have the audacity to oh Lord, get high when we want to get high. No, that's them. I'm not saying we, but you all understand what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, but and oh Lord, and then we try to explain it away. Well, it's from the earth. Miss me with that foolishness. And we have sins that we, borrowing something from my earlier teaching that I've received, we pat on certain sins. Don't mess with that. Leave that alone. Now, you have to understand something, that the Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So, I can be a preacher, put a sermon together, put the voice inflection in all the right places, have the qualified and professional musicians put me in the key of in that key. right? And preach a message and then leave the podium and live like the devil. That's not the genuine gospel. That's a counterfeit. A counterfeit. Paul said, I'm surprised. I think in one portion of Galatians, he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Somebody didn't put a spell on you. Who tricked you? Well, you fell for the okey-doke. So Paul wrote something else. In Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 20. Yeah, we're talking about passing the mantle, but we got to make sure we pass you the right thing. We got to make sure that this is intact. Paul wrote the letter to the saints at Ephesus in chapter number 2. I'll look at one verse. Verse 20. It says, Amplified Classic, you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus, with Christ Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone. So that means everything that we taught you, everything that the prophets declared in Old Testament time, and everything that the apostles confirmed and declared in New Testament time, has its chief cornerstone as none other than Jesus Christ. Nobody is the cornerstone but Jesus. So the foundation stands on Jesus. It is all about Jesus. This is why I believe the Lord impressed in my mind that expression that, and you all can use this if you will, I want to live like Jesus and love like Jesus. Because he is the chief cornerstone. He is, again, the Bible says in one place, the author and finisher of our faith. It is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So the labor that the prophets labored in, the labor of the apostles, they were working for Jesus, and Jesus was working with them, but he is the cornerstone. Take Jesus out and the building falls apart. Take Jesus out and the gospel is of no value. It's all about Jesus. It's not about the material things that some place such a high priority on. But we must be keepers of the faith. 2 Timothy, walk with me there. Walk with me here. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Paul writing to his son in the gospel. You know, I often ask, and this is a consistent request, pray for my mind. Because I don't know how God deals with your mind, but anyway, pray for your boy. But Paul, writing to his son Timothy, here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, beginning at verse number 1, so you, my son, be strong, Amplified unpacks it, strengthened inwardly in the grace, spiritual blessing that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you're going to have to be strong. That's what he's telling his son in the gospel. For those that will humbly, graciously, and willingly receive the mantle of carrying the gospel message forward, should the Lord tarry, you got to be strong. Because you will face opposition from every quarter of your life. You have to be strong inwardly. And you have to be strong in the grace. And that grace and strength can only be found in Christ Jesus. And I like what he says in verse number 2. This is what we're trying to do this morning. And the instructions which you have heard from me, along with many witnesses, watch now, transmit and entrust as a deposit to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also. This must continue. This teaching, this preaching of the genuine gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to transmit it. We have to entrust it as a deposit to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also. It should not, the genuine gospel message should not stop with us if the Lord tarries, should not stop with the generation that's coming behind us if the Lord tarries, but we must continue in this faith and genuine gospel until the Lord comes. I like what he said in verse number 3. Take with me your share of hardships and sufferings, which you are called to endure as a good first-class soldier of Christ Jesus. So Paul is letting Timothy know up front, you're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to get talked about. You are going to be disinvited from certain things. You won't make everybody's list. And truth be told, you shouldn't be on everybody's list anyway. But you're going to deal with some hardships. And I like, he said, take with me your share. And we know that Paul dealt with some hardships. He got beat, shipwrecked, and things to that nature. But he still preached and taught the message of Jesus. I like verse number 15 in that same chapter. It says, we know this, verse 15, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved. Now, I like how Paul unpacks the approved portion. Tested by trial. So don't think that if you are a carrier of the genuine gospel, if you are a keeper of the faith, and breaking news, you are, don't think that you won't be tested. You will be tested. But God is going to, if you want God to approve you, that you got to study. You got to be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial. Then he said, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. If you're a keeper of the faith, this is your responsibility. This is what we must do. This is what we in this generation, we must demonstrate it. We must demonstrate it in our own lives. For you all that are coming behind us, we cannot afford to use the Bible or use scriptures as a diving board. What are you saying? I'll let you know. We can't pull a scripture out of context, jump up and down on it, dive, and then never return to the scripture again. We have to rightly handle and skillfully teach the word of God. If we are to be keepers of the faith, we have to do this. It is a requirement that we do it. And when we do it the way that God wants us to do it, God stamps his approval on it. And that's the approval that we want. Yes, it is nice. Because see, we're in a battle, y'all. We're in a battle. There's a war going on in us all the time. And we enjoy and appreciate positive comments. We enjoy and appreciate and welcome positive affirmations when we are serving. That's what ministry is anyway. And we allow God to use us in any capacity in the ministry that he has positioned us and called us to. We enjoy that. We like to know that hopefully we help somebody. But if nobody says anything, we want the approval of God. Remember when the apostles were arrested for healing somebody and they threatened them? They said, well, we're going to let y'all go, but don't teach anything in Jesus' name. You know, now we could whoop you. We could kill you. We can put you in jail. But we're going to let you go with a warning. I love the boldness that they said. They said, you judge. You talk about speaking truth to power. They said, you judge. Whether it's right for us to obey you or obey God. In other words, whoop me if you want to whoop me, huh? And all you're going to do is give me some scars for my faith, huh? But I'm going to obey God rather than man. That's the mindset of a keeper of the faith. Now, we might not get physically beat, but we'll get verbally beat. People will attack our character. They will misconstrue our intentions when all we're trying to do is help people, when all we're trying to do is snatch people out of the grips of the devil, you know, and they'll put some labels on you. You think you this? No, I know who I am in Christ. It's not a, see, the problem is you think that I think that, but I'm trying to save your life. I'm trying to save your soul. So all that's coming, know that that's in the package if you're a keeper of the faith. Know that that's coming, right? If it hasn't yet, you keep studying. You keep declaring God's word. You keep yielding yourself to God, and it's coming. It's coming. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Lord will not put on you more than what you're able to bear. With the temptation, God will provide a way of escape so that you will bear it, you as an individual. Sometimes it gets close. We're, Lord help me, okay. Even in the same house, you can feel the friction. Even in the same house, there's occasions for opposition. You got to deal with that. And you are well able to deal with it. Don't think that you can't. Sometimes it is better, sometimes, And I believe God will lead us in those times. Sometimes it's better to just be quiet and let God work on the heart of the person that's in a position of opposition. You will be amazed at when we take our mouth off of certain things, when we don't allow the button of irking my nerve to get pushed, huh? And we just stand and say, you know what? This conversation is not edifying to you or me. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to back away for a moment. That's all I'm going to do. Now, you know I love you. I'm talking about in the same household. But in order for us, Lord, to continue being us, I'm just going to back away. And I'm going to pray. Now, you don't have to tell everything. Just get in your secret closet and say, God, you see. You see. And, oh, Lord, search me. Because sometimes I think I'm right. And I may not be. I may have a valid point in my own opinion, but I don't have all the answers. So if I'm going to be a keeper of the faith, a good place for me to start is at home. I gotta put faith in action at home, because I think that. And help me pray through this. That's where the majority of our tests come from. I don't know why he. I don't know why she. God knows why he. God knows why she. God knows why you. And God knows why me. But a keeper of the faith, you have to live like Jesus and love. Oh, powerful word. Love like him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the love that Jesus had for Judas Iscariot to be able to sit there with him? To be able to allow him in all the Bible classes, to be able to trust him with the finances, knowing that he was going to betray him. What kind of love is that? The love of God. This just in, that love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So you mean you have a disagreement or disappointment in your spouse? I don't want to look at your face. Let me take the glasses off so I can't see you. It's all blurry. And you can't overcome that? Wait a minute. Wait. And we can't overcome that? What's the value of the love that we have? In a Bible that somebody brought in here, it says love covers. Oh, you all know the verse. We know the verse here. But do we show the verse here and here? But we're keepers of the faith. Yes, you are. And we got to do better. Oh Lord, I didn't know somebody brought that rabbit in here. I had to chase it. Okay. All right, Lord have mercy. Let me move. We got another class at noon. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. For thus it stands in Scripture. Behold, I am laying in Zion a chosen, Amplified unpacks it, honored, precious, chief cornerstone. We're talking about Jesus again, but it was foretold in Scripture in Old Testament time. Watch this now. And he who believes in him, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him, who's the cornerstone, already been pointed out, Jesus, shall never be disappointed or put to shame. So if we are keeper of the faith and we adhere, means obey, Jesus, if we trust in Jesus, if we rely on him and not on ourselves, we will never, that's a powerful word there, be disappointed or put to shame. We just got finished singing a little while ago, he never lost a battle. You won't either. But you have to fight the good fight of faith. That's the key. Now you go on there with your own strength, you might get knocked out. But anyway, let me move. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. As a keeper of the faith, here's what we must do. But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Watch, I like how the end of this verse goes. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. But do it courteously and respectfully. So we have to sanctify God in our hearts. Sanctify Jesus in our heart. And always be ready. How are we going to always be ready? We got to be keepers of the faith. Huh? We have to be able to give a logical defense to anybody who asks you, on your job, on your campus, on the block, in the cul-de-sac, in the market, to anybody who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. Why are you so hopeful? Can't you see what's going on? Yeah, I see. They're raising everything. Prices. Lord, have mercy. You used to can go in the grocery store. Don't let me get started there. What hope do you have? My hope is in Jesus. How about you? I love this fact about God. He's going to take care of us. They can only raise the prices so far. Huh? And then either we're going to buy the product or we're not. And some of the stuff we really don't need. So am I going to complain? Woo, stuff is high. Put it in the cart and praise God, I have the funds to take care of it. Why am I going to torture myself in that line going from aisle 1 to aisle 12 at the supermarket and I'm just seeing the prices? Why am I going to beat myself up and say, ooh, I remember when that used to be? Just get the stuff, huh? And thank God you got the money to pay for it and stop complaining. No, that was for me. That wasn't for y'all. Oh, God, okay. I remember when on Fridays, you used to can get 2 Filet-O-Fish sandwiches for $5. Am I by myself? And wait a minute. Is it me? Or aren't those sandwiches a little smaller now? Come on, come on, come on, come on. See, listen, Jesus didn't talk over the people's head. He talked to them about lambs and goats and sheep, so we're talking about fish sandwiches for a minute. That all right? Huh? Come on, he met them where they were. They have the audacity to charge $5.99 for one sandwich, and it's smaller than they ever was. Lord have mercy. But I got the $6 to pay for it. I just had to get that off of me. I keep telling y'all, pray for me. Because you can observe that. Huh? So what good does it do to argue with the person? You know, I don't know why. I don't know. Number 215, yeah, that's me, thank you. Get my bag and go. They didn't make the price. But we want to blow off steam. I can't afford to blow off steam if I'm a keeper of the faith. How am I going to witness? Next time I go in there, can I give you a track? No, you can't give me no track. Well, last time you gave me a hard time over some fish. I don't want nothing you got. We spoil our witness by sometimes our reaction. All right, let me get back to the scripture. But that was applicable, I think it was. So yours might not be a fish sandwich. Yours might be something else. But whatever's in your box that you got to pay for more now than you did before, that's your box. I got my box too. The fish sandwich comes in the blue box, don't it? All right. And they're good. Well, they used to be. Oh, Lord. Church is not the place where fun goes to die. Laughter's good medicine, but let's take the medicine. Don't spit it out. Take the medicine. All right. Let me get another scripture for you. I think this will probably be the last one. Let me check. Yeah. What we're handing to you, or what we are endeavoring to hand to you, is the faith. Earnestly contend. That's what Jude said. Earnestly contend for the faith. Right? In verse 3 of that chapter. It's only one chapter. He said, beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard to our common salvation, but I found it necessary and was impelled to write you and urgently appeal and exhort you to contend for the faith which was once and for all handed down to the saints. The faith which is that sum of Christian belief which was delivered verbally to the holy people of God. So basically, what Jude is saying, I wanted to write to you about something else, but it's more important for me to tell you that you have to urgently, you have to earnestly contend for the faith. Be a defender of the faith. This is where I got the thought, keepers of the faith, from reading this scripture and the other scriptures. God wants some contenders. God wants people, I believe, to defend the faith. And in order for us to defend the faith, we got to stay in the faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. So we have to walk a walk of faith every day of our lives. Our living must be in line with our teaching. And our teaching is not our teaching, it is the teaching of God. Our living must line up with the chief cornerstone, and the chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Our living must be in alignment, so when God looks at us, he really doesn't see us, he sees himself in us, because the Bible says that we are being molded and shaped into his image, right? So then when we live a life for Jesus, in Jesus, by Jesus, then what people will see as we live is Jesus. We can't afford for them to see us, because we make a mess of it. At least I do. And if God doesn't help us, there's no help for us. But we have to be able to pass on something to the generation that's coming behind us. I don't know how long it's going to be, or if it's even going to be long. I believe that nearly everything that needs to happen before the rapture has taken place. I don't know all the intricate details, but God knows. But one thing I do know, we're living in the last days. Huh? One thing I do know, according to scriptures, that when God gave the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, that was a fulfillment of Joel when he said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That was over 2,000 years ago. So if that was the beginning of the last days now, where are we? I mean, if that was the beginning of the last days then, where are we now? Huh? No man knows the hour. And since we don't know the hour that the Lord is going to return, it is our responsibility as elders in the faith to pass on by word, by deed, by example, by teaching, by encouragement, by admonishing, pass on to those that are coming behind us, so that should the Lord call us individually from this side of eternity into the other side of eternity, this genuine gospel must be left in good hands. It has to be. It has to be left in good hands. Know that you're in a fight. Know that you will be tested. Know that you will be tried. Know this also, God ain't gonna leave you. God's not gonna forsake you. You're more than a conqueror. Get that in your mind and your spirit. You're more than a conqueror. I want to speak to your faith. God will enable you to do what he's called you to do. Now, God put this on my mind, so I'm going to share it. You all remember when Samuel was told to go and anoint a king out of Jesse's house? And the ones, he paraded his sons before him. And God said, no, that's not him. No, that's not him. Nope, that ain't him. That's not him. Well, do you have any more sons? Well, we got one. We got one out there keeping the herd. Well, bring him, because I have an assignment. Bring him. You know, I was thinking about that. And sometimes the ones we think, sometimes the one we think, oh, well, it's not a we thing. It's a God thing. And God will reveal in his own time who he wants to elevate. But since we don't know yet, because there are times when God gives the revelation to the leader. But since we don't know yet, we're going to anoint everybody from 18 to 50. And if it's you, it's going to be you when the time comes. And if it's not you, it's still going to be you when the time comes. Because don't miss this point. We are a kingdom of priests. Don't miss that. You don't have to necessarily have a platform and a pulpit to fulfill the purpose that God has for you. I just wanted you to know that. And it's not a political thing. See, that's a part of that opposition gospel. People jockeying for position. That's not what we are about. Remember when they were praying in one place and the Lord said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul"? Let God do that. That's in his domain. But if you feel that you want to be a keeper of the faith, and the faith, when he talked about earnestly contending for the faith, that's the whole sum of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And can I say this? Thank you. It's more than Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38, the obedience to Acts 2:38, the obedience to being repented, baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost, that is a result of you hearing the genuine gospel and believing it. You need to know that. But we have to study Jesus. Live how he lived. Behave how he behaved. Right? We know that there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. We got that. But once you get in, you have to contend for the faith. You have to study. You have to be able to give an account. The hope that is within you. So, we're going to call now for those 18 to 50. We need you to come. We're going to anoint you and pray for you. And we're going to pass, if you are willing to receive it. Now, don't come if you're not willing to receive it. But if you're willing to receive it, We're gonna, yes. Turn my mic off, please.